Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
The life you know, all the stuff you take for granted, it's not gonna last. Imagine a world of permanent darkness, where machines control man's destiny. Imagine you were the only one who could stop it. But before you do, something terrible has to happen.
All military systems have been infected.
This can't be happening.
John Connor was here. Where is he?
Are you going to kill me?
No. My mission is to protect you.
Can you find a way to destroy her?
Unlikely. I'm an obsolete design.
TX has corrupted my system.
The machines, they're starting to take over.
Judgment Day. The end of the world. It's today, 3 hours from now.
Get away from me! Now!
What is your mission?
To ensure the survival of John Connor.
You are about to fail that mission!
You don't have to do this.
You don't want to do this!
Desire is irrelevant. I am a machine.
Indiana Jones, Avengers, Endgame, it follows. Joker, Wreck-It Ralph, Mamma Mia, here we go again. Titanic 2, Jack's back, 7 cents, Ghost Attack, Alien vs. Predator, except this on their friend. Watching the movies right up till our TVs break. So just crank up the volume till your speakers start to shake. You need a second take.
My name's Sebastian and I'm back.
Sometimes things happen that we just can't change. I'm Andy Schossler.
No, I am not shitting you. I'm Jordan.
Perfect. And you might be thinking, oh no, you all sound so glum. Did Alex die? No.
No,
he didn't die.
Terminator 3.
That's what happened. And here we are. But just because it was shitty doesn't mean we'll be shitty. Welcome to the review spectacular. I tried to double feature this movie in a sense that I tried to watch two things at the same time, which is not how a double feature works, mind you. I'll put this movie on TV. It is the main event for my evening. What I'll also do is, to support my wife who's Twitch streaming, I'll put her stream on my phone. I'll look at it occasionally. I'll make a comment, but really it's just there to give her a number.
Sure.
That was the plan. But what ended up happening was, and I should point out, she was playing a game in which marbles roll down a hill.
I love it already.
3 hours later, I realized that I had been watching this marble game and sort of didn't really watch T3. And I'm going to say...
You didn't have to.
That's T3's fault.
Well, I did double feature these films in the traditional sense, and the only positive I have for this film is that it was only about an hour and a half long, so thank you for not having me up till midnight when T2 was like nearly 3 hours long.
This is a short film. Yeah,
yeah, it's just shy of 2 hours. Yeah.
It feels like longer.
It does, which is a stark comparison to T2, which is long as fuck, but whizzes past.
Because you're actually enjoying it.
I know, funny that. Isn't it weird how time goes quick when you're having a good time?
No. Nobody enjoyed this film.
Surely not.
Nobody?
Oh, three people maybe.
Can we see their stats and maybe quantify it on some sort of IMDb or Rotten Tomatoes scale?
So IMDb, Terminator 1 and 2, both are mid-8s and high 90s for Rotten Tomatoes scores.
Almost like you could say unequivocally, good films.
Right. 6.3 for Terminator 3 on IMDb.
Which is a passing grade. That's not even the dumbest kid in the class.
Rotten Tomatoes, however, big discord there. 69% critical, 43% audience.
Big oofed.
What a shift down from T3 94.
I would never call myself a film critic. That's for other people to call me.
That's not true, Seb. It's in your Facebook bio.
Yeah, because for the magazine, that's the featured title. As I said, other people can call me that. I would never say that, except in my Facebook profile. But that makes me embarrassed to have that even vague association of name. Like, that's gross. Guys, be better. Like good things, hate bad things.
Yeah, I mean, everybody who was involved in this, you know, had to be shoehorned into it.
It doesn't surprise me.
Arnie was holding out, saying, "I'm not interested in doing it unless James Cameron is directing." And eventually James Cameron said, "No, I'm not interested, because I told the story that I wanted to tell and it finished off in T2.
I'm busy making my Blue People movie. Leave me alone."
Exactly right. I'm done with it. But he did give Arnie his blessing and said, "Look, just do it and ask for a shitload of money." The budget for Terminator 3 was $200 million. Basically, a fifth of that went towards having Arnie on board.
Yeah, it took almost 40 from it.
Arnold Schwarzenegger's contract included a fee of $29 million paid whether the film was made or not. Good. A gym trailer, on-call limousines, bodyguards, an approval clause giving him say over who directed, who was the principal cast, who his stand-in was, who his body double was, who his publicist was, who his hairdresser was, who his cook was, who his physician was, and 20% of the gross takings after it broke even in every market, meaning theatres, home video, DVD sales, in-flight entertainment, games and TV licensing, the works. He made it like a bandit.
Yep. It's fucking great.
Mans is a business.
He's good at that. he's the Trump of the cinema world.
Imagine being his bodyguard. Hey, like that's a lot of body to guard. Like, that's a lot of coverage required. But also, like, you're never gonna be that big. Like, this isn't him at his biggest, but he's still a big lad in this film.
He worked out for 3 hours every day for 6 months to get back to the same measurements he was in when he filmed T2. Now he was 40 something then. He's like mid-50s when he's filming this.
Jesus.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. He definitely looks like he's aged.
Yeah.
But not as bad as he will in the other films we're coming up to.
Yeah. T3 didn't address him looking older, and it didn't have to, because for the most part, he looked the same as he did. He had the leather jacket and the sunglasses, same as he did in T2. For the entire movie, it became his uniform.
And he loses his face
at
points.
T1, he changed costume a couple of times, and it made sense for the character. T2, again, it suffers from that sequel focusing where, okay, he looked really cool in the jacket and the sunglasses. Let's just put him in that from the very beginning, and that's all he'll wear. And this just falls into that trap as well, where he has to look that way because that's what Han Solo wears. He wears a vest and a white thing. You can't have him dressed in something else.
Of course.
We won't recognize him as Han Solo.
All I want from this franchise, all I want is for there to be a story set in like colonial times. Like the founding fathers of America. And it's got the Connor family.
Yep.
And one of these motherfuckers in an exoskeleton rocks up then. And people have got like muskets. And it is just like literally just pushing over their houses. I want to see that horror movie because that sounds fucking great.
I think one of the Red Letter Media guys, in fact, I think it was Rich Evans, pitched the Terminator in the Wild West just as a cowboy.
Yeah,
just, I love it.
That would
just
be
send
great.
Send him back before anybody knew about electricity and just kill everybody.
I have to get really on top of Skynet. We need to stop electricity.
But like, how good of a movie would that be? Like, it's like because it's set like 200 years in the past and there's a robot from 100 years later.
Yeah.
Like the disparity between what it is and what they are. Yeah. Wouldn't that make for like a
just drop Arnie straight into Cowboys and Aliens.
Yes. Or no, because there's aliens. There's too much tech.
Cowboys and Aliens was awesome.
It was.
It was an awesome
so
film.
Good. Okay,
you guys
don't mess with that.
Yeah. You guys are both saying that. You're the only two people possibly what? In history that I've heard good things from that movie. Off.
Are you it's so fun. Cowboys and Aliens, it is.
Yeah.
Daniel Craig
I haven't
Harrison,
watched it.
It's fucking good, Seb. Watch it.
Maybe when we have a spare week, I'll throw
it's
it. We'll throw
so
it in.
So good. It is so it. Good.
Okay, but I'm just saying, if we can scrap T3 and we can do... Like, did you guys, they were going to do it one stage. This will be one of those episodes where we talk about a bunch of other things that aren't the movie. Just
so like most episodes.
For like specific on purpose. There's going to be this Dracula movie about the, what's the name of the ship that they move his coffin in? Oh, I've spaced the name of the boat. Anyway, it's where they're moving the coffin of Dracula from one place to another one by boat. And the idea is that when the boat finally came back to its final port, everyone was missing.
Oh.
And it's the story of how these people are like, it's like a bottle episode on a boat and Dracula has awakened from his coffin and he's just getting rid of these people and killing them and eating them and destroying them all.
That sounds fun.
I want that, but with Terminator.
Right.
So there's so many cool things they could have done. They kept going forward in time, and I think they should have started going further back in time.
Okay. Hold off on trivia for a moment. This is sort of trivia, I guess. Let's establish, up until now, the timeline as far as Skynet, when it begins sending Terminators back, is.
Okay.
So, John Connor breaches the Skynet base, or whatever you want to call it, the complex, right, and completely dismantles the manufacturing, everything. The humans had won at that point.
Yep.
Right, had won the war.
Even though in this film we established that Skynet's actually the
internet. No. We're not there yet.
We're not there yet. Cool.
So Skynet is doing that. So John Connor and his army have stormed the complex. They've won. They've beaten Skynet. Skynet goes, haha, I'm going to send a Terminator back to kill your mother. Right? And that's where we get T1.
Yep.
Okay? The resistance, you know, pick out Kyle Reese and say, okay, you've got to go back and save Sarah Connor, and also, you know, impregnate my mother so that I'm born. But let's not discuss that right now. You'll find out what's going on. He does know.
Okay,
he does know because Sarah Connor at the end of T1 is talking to the recorder and saying, "Do I tell you about your father? Will it affect your decision to send him back if you know that he's going to die?"
Okay.
Blah, blah. That happens. it doesn't work, right? It doesn't work. And Skynet then goes, aha, door number two, I'm going to send back this polymetal thing and it's going to try and take you out when you're a kid. Okay. And John Connor and his cronies go, no, I don't think so. They take one of the endoskeletons from the, you know, now disabled manufacturing thing, reprogram it, ship it back to save John Connor.
Can I ask really quickly, are we to understand if Connor knew to send back Reese because he knew Reese was his father and he needed to, that future Connor is already aware of all of these, what will be future attempts but haven't yet happened, that they're going to send back various Terminators to his past before they've even done it?
Yeah. Obviously.
So he'd have to know, like, but the war starts in this film, day one, and is in this film.
Yeah.
because he knows already what's going to happen going into the future. So he's really just waiting for when they do it to know when to do it himself, even though he already knows when to do it himself.
The Terminator deals with time travel, but it never addresses how.
It's all circles, right?
Well, no, it doesn't address whether it's closed loops or whether it's
flat circles,
alternate universes and timelines.
I think they actually do in the Matt Smith one.
No.
I think there's an attempt in the future. Is my point. Whether it's good, I'm just saying. I think that they actually try.
No. Skynet sends back the polymorph metallic one, going, "This is one I've been working on, but it's a little bit clever, and I don't really know how to use it. But last ditch, gotta go, kill John Connor," and they send back the reprogrammed one. Then. That's T2. Then for T3 to happen, they're all in this complex. They've sent back, you know, two lots of time travelers through this machine. A T-800 comes through the complex.
Which
right?
is the T-800, sorry?
Arnie.
Yep.
Arnie. John Connor, old John Connor, right, turns around and goes, "Ah, friend, I recognize you. Aren't you wonderful?" And he goes, bam, 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 and kills John Connor then. John Connor is dead.
Yep.
The Resistance has won, but John Connor is dead.
You're going to be really angry when I talk about Dark Fate
and
in a second.
Skynet goes, "Aha, you thought door number two was tricky. Here's one I've been working on even secreter. This polymorph endoskeleton mix that carries back its own weapons." And okay, we're just ignoring the whole only living thing is can travel back in time situation now. It's going back and it's going to kill you as a young adult and all your lieutenants as well. So all you fuckers are going to go down.
I actually like the lieutenant's part.
Away it goes. And Catherine Brewster, who's left behind and is cradling John and going, "Oh no, John, you're dead," whatever, looks up at the T-800 and goes, "Zap. Let's reprogram you. You're going back in time to save me and John Connor from being killed by this thing. Off you go."
Yes. So I get some bad okay.
Isn't that the stupidest thing you've ever heard?
Yeah, but also
very convoluted and silly.
When you put them all in a sequence like that, they really are ridiculous. Yep. And you can forgive it when it's just T2. Because you can't, okay, really good movie, and I'll give it the benefit of the doubt for all this stuff. But then you keep adding stuff on at the end of that, and it just gets disappointing.
Well, it makes sense in a way, like they know they've lost in the present, as in the future. Like they know they've lost, they can't change that on that moment. It's literally, do we do nothing or do we give it a shot? Like,
oh no,
it's a bad idea. It doesn't work, obviously.
I get it. But Skynet is holding back these experimental Terminators instead of just flooding. Just send back 10 of them.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Why are you sending never...
It's not like they've got an endless supply of these things, Andrew.
I would like to talk about time travel. And this is going to bring up the plot from a future movie. So spoiler alert for Dark Fate, which I think is the most recent one. And it only raises because... while they don't really do much on the time travel note, it's all consistent in a sense that everything has a beginning and has an end. And I think it's really circular logic. Like this causes this, which goes back to cause this, and it all closes off.
Right.
Except for in Dark Fate, where they send back another Arnie just after T2, and as in Skynet sends him back, and it kills John Connor when he's Edward Furlong after T2.
So it did work after all, I guess. Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. And then it turns out, oh, John Connor didn't lead the resistance. It was Sarah Connor or something. Like they flipped that.
Some other Mexican girl who's going to give birth to the savior.
Yeah. Even though it was John Connor. It doesn't really matter. I don't care if it's John Connor or not. I don't actually care about the character.
The excuses got lamer and had less effort put into each successive one.
I would have been happier with this story if it was just some dude in the future really hates John Connor. He's like, "I'm going to fucking show this guy," and did this. That is more fun for me because it's still, once the Terminator gets back, the movie itself isn't about the time travel. It is, yes, we've got to save the future, but it's really just, we need to survive. And whether or not that's me having to go at some dick from high school or me, Skynet, it's the same end result. Is
T1 is a story of man versus machine, right? T2 is a story of machine versus machine, but one machine, you know, is slowly becoming a man, or at least is, you know, having learning compassion and understanding why, you know, killing isn't the thing. I mean, the T2 finishes off beautifully with Sarah Connor just going, if a machine can learn the value of human life, maybe we can too, right? Just a nice way to wrap everything up and do that. And then T3, and it's just
machine. What if it had a flamethrower?
Yeah.
That's it.
Yep. That's it.
Isn't it great? I'm gonna shit on this movie a lot. I will say I find her name. I'm so bad with this.
It's so. Okay. I'm kind of giving away the verdict now, but it's so unoriginal in what it does. It's so flat.
Kristanna.
Because it's just copying T2 and all the things that worked in that, except now we know what's going on and everything's lame because there's nothing new.
Kristanna Loken or Loken, TX, I actually don't hate her performance. No, I think she is good.
The movie's not bad because of anybody's involvement. Yes. It's just a shitty story.
Her character is infuriating in its own way, but more of where it comes from and why it exists as opposed to what she is doing with it. So I just want to be very fucking clear. As much as I'm going to pile onto this movie, none of it's her fault. None of it's, to be fair, none of it's any of the actor's fault.
No.
It's just the story is watered down and literally recycled from two other films in the worst possible way. And it's just, there's no heart to it.
Yeah.
It's missing the love.
The box office completely confirms that. A budget of $200 million, it made $433. So whether or not it made its money back after marketing and things like that.
Well, then big slice and then
and there's all the residual stuff that, you know, the Terminator franchise hasn't died.
Yeah.
It's just been slowly being bled.
Oh, good Lord.
Bled dry. So
this was written by the same guy who wrote Catwoman and further Terminator films, which explains the downward trajectory.
Yeah. And I think it's bounced between production houses as well. There hasn't been any consistency there.
This director, Jonathan Mostow.
The only other good thing he did was Surrogates with Bruce Willis, which came 6 years after this.
Mm. He'd actually not directed too many films.
No.
From 1985 through to 2017 was his last one. Like, he's had a decent time span, but nothing that really stands out. Yeah, you're right. Surrogates is the only one that I've heard of. On that entire, what's Hunter's Prayer?
Don't know.
Trash.
Anyway, Kristanna Loken, in order to play the TX, Arnie practiced a lot to make his movements very mechanical. Robert Patrick based his movements on the American bald eagle, just to be very predatory. Kind.
Oh, can I guess?
Yeah.
Okay, so wait. So go back. What did Arnie base his off?
He just repeated, he just practiced the movements until they were automatic and mechanical.
And Robert Patrick was a bald eagle.
Yeah.
And she was, I was going to make a funny joke here. I got nothing. I'm going to say an octopus. No, that's
she,
not right.
She took mime classes.
Oh, that's better than an octopus. Yeah.
To be more expressive in her body language and such. But it paid off in the sense that her portrayal is fine for what it is. But because the film tried to add in so many jokes,
right,
it spoils it when the Terminator is emotional. Like in very early on, when we find out that the TX is a walking DNA machine as well, it's got an endless bag of tricks that it has. It, you know, licks a little bit of blood and it can immediately analyze it.
Yeah.
You know, for DNA and know who it was. She sees this little bit of DNA. She's hunting for Catherine Brewster and all their lieutenants. Finds out it's John Connor. And it has an orgasm. It's oh my God, I found John Connor. Why is a machine reacting that way? Why is the machine, I know it's done for the film. I understand that. But in the logic of the universe, this is a machine. Why is it having an emotion?
Can I bullshit my way through this?
And it's not the only time that it happens. Yeah, please do.
Okay. Well, the first two robots they sent back were just robots. They felt nothing and they failed. We're going to send back something that's less of a robot and more of a robot person. So maybe they were like, well, the first two, fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. Third time, I'm going to send back something slightly different. And maybe that's the variable that we needed. Because the only robots that did win historically in this franchise were ones that were becoming emotional.
Here's a pitch, just based off that. How good would it have been to Truman Show this? Terminator 3, for half the film, right? It's just John Connor going about his daily business and nothing's out of the ordinary. And then it turns out that his and everybody around him is a Terminator and they've just been lulling him into this false sense of security.
The idea that they've like...
It's stupid, but it's better than just repeating the formula again.
Better concept than doing the same movie again.
The idea that one day he walked into a Quickie Mart and it turns out it was a fake Quickie Mart and he never noticed, and when he walked back out, he was in like a bubble. This is more for me. I've just realized that you can buy a moving replica of the T-800 endoskeleton arm and brain chip, one-to-one replicas.
Ooh.
For $2,200.
Of course you can.
It looks fucking incredible. Yeah. And I was like, is there a lay-by option?
Can but I it, like, pop this one on Afterpay, please?
It like moves around and shit too. Like does the old like, oh yes, I'm thinking with my hand. And it looks better than this movie.
Does it come with a life-size cutout of Miles Dyson holding the second key in order to access these things from the vault?
Oh, Miles Dyson. My poor baby. It says I can pre-order now. That's now.
Do it.
It's so tempting. That I think it's too big for my display case, to be honest. It's a long boy.
So James Cameron wasn't on board to direct it because he didn't think the story had anywhere to go, and he was absolutely right.
And right he was.
although other considerations for directors before they settled on Jonathan Mostow were Ridley Scott,
okay,
who we've is of mm-hmm. Alien fame and Blade Runner and all those other things. He could have done a good job, and John McTiernan, Die Hard.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
He would have been a good action director as well.
Yeah.
I don't think Jonathan Mostow did a bad job. It's just a bad script.
Yeah, it's just not a good movie.
There's nothing interesting that happens during the film. It's all the same stuff. There's chases, there's guns, there's explosions. It's a new evolution of the TX monster, which is actually a devolution, because now it's bound to a skeleton, but it carries all these weapons along with it. And why? The whole point of T1 is that you're just sending this thing back in time and it has to make do with all the tools that it can find. And use, the Terminator, when he first comes back in 1984, asks for a phase rifle, and the guy says, look, I don't have that. It's just what you see. So, Uzi and rifles and bullets and things. That's interesting that it has to adjust its strategy in order to do that. But now you get this thing that's just carrying its own flamethrower and pulse gun and whatever other, a thousand other tools that we never see. It just kind of scrolls through them. Look at all the stuff I'm carrying. Mm. It's not interesting. It's not threatening because it can just do anything. So it's...
There's no rules. Well, there are rules.
It's the script deliberately holding back and saying, you could. Of course you could just throw a bomb in that general direction and disintegrate the entire neighborhood. And John Connor will probably die because, it's just going to incinerate, a 500 meter radius. But we won't do that. We'll go off and hunt and test blood and, be a little detective and and ask everybody who they are just before.
I think, honestly, one of the...
Instead of just shooting people and confirming their identity afterwards, it asks, are you Catherine Brewster? Which is a callback to what the Terminator was doing, but the Terminator was only doing that because he didn't have that ability. All he knew was a name, and he knew that if he asked somebody who they were, they might confirm, yes, I am Sarah Connor or whatever.
Maybe they're worried about butterfly effect from killing all these random non-associated people. But then again,
fine. You just send back another Terminator in the next movie to stop this Terminator from fucking up so badly. That's fine.
I actually like...
You fix that in post, Seb. Oh, yeah.
I like the going after the generals bit as an add-on. I actually think that makes sense. Like, it was never a one-man show as much as they would make it seem to. That's a good idea.
It's a good next move for Skynet. It's just executed so stupidly.
And correct me, this could have happened in the film and maybe when I was just zoning out, I missed it. But
in fact, what would have been interesting if this Terminator didn't even have John Connor on the radar. It's just, I'm John Connor. Don't you want me? No, I'm not interested in you. I don't care what you do. I'm going to kill everybody you've ever, associated with, and you're not going to have an army. It's going to be you facing off against my army of Terminators. Fuck you, John Connor. I don't give a shit about you. But they didn't even do that.
Yep. Sorry, I was going to say, it would have been good, and this could have happened in the film, so please tell me if it did. Do they happen to find the list of other people it's going after and race to save some of the generals? Because that would have been interesting. That way, because John and the Terminator are hunting for the same person, but for different reasons.
They address it, but you can't put that into an hour and a half long film.
Well, that's why you write a different movie, not this one.
They do address it, and Arnold just basically says, no, my mission is to protect you and Catherine Brewster, and that's it. You know, we're continuing on. And that's when they get sidetracked to go after her father, mm-hmm. who, you know, they deduce is sort of creating Skynet. And if they can, again, they can Miles Dyson, if they can get him to stop it before it all happens, then maybe they can save the world.
Oh, thank God, guys. I just saved myself so much money. You can just buy the CPU chip for $50 Australian. Which can fit in my display cabinet, and it's also $2,200 cheaper.
Doesn't look as cool as the arm, though.
The other one came in like one of those like sideways tube with the lights and stuff. This is just like on a little display, but it's still, once again, can't stress enough, $2,200 cheaper. And it looks like it's from the 90s. Like it looks old.
Yeah. It's a pretty chunky chip.
That is kind of cool, actually.
Yeah. Like it looks like a Tetris block to kind of.
Yeah, yeah.
Is it a full one or is it the cutaway one that is genuinely from
the full one?
The movie. Oh, that's not interesting.
Well, the other one was the cutaway one.
Well, it was the damaged one that they recovered from the original Terminator.
The other replica I looked machine, at was the same pieces that were in Cyberdyne.
It looks like a chocolate bar, a little chocolate bar that's had a little bite taken out of the corner.
That would be good, Andrew, but it's so expensive.
You can't put a dollar value.
But apparently, you can, and it's very, very expensive. For like I said, I can't even fit it. The arm's too long for my case.
Another criticism I'll have of this film, for a stupid little thing that they missed, that they could have at least made a little bit interesting. Judgment Day is changed. So August 29th, 1997 doesn't happen. There's a new Judgment Day, which the film, you know, says is inevitable. It was always going to happen. It's just, you know, the date moves around, whatever. The new date is July 25th, 2004.
Right.
Which isn't said specifically in the film, but you kind of work it out that's what it is. And it just doesn't roll off the tongue very nicely. Interestingly, though, that is 2,522 days after the original Judgment Day. But you know what would have been actually interesting? If they made it 2,222 days.
You just did the theme after, song.
Yes, that's exactly right. And if they'd done that, that would have been September 29th. 2003, which does roll off the tongue nicely. It even kind of mirrors, you know, August 29th, September 29th. Yeah. And it's 2,222 days after the... Even that is a missed opportunity. That would have been nice to, you know, for somebody to
care. That would require someone to put thought into the film.
That's exactly right.
Do you
right.
want one of the characters to accidentally sing the theme song to the movie that he's in? Is that what you're pitching?
It's just for people who like Terminator, that would have been a nice little bow. Yeah. If the new Judgment Day was 2,222 days after the original Judgment Day. Wouldn't that be nice?
I'm going to go out on a limb and say-
But it's not.
This just film not. is not interested in doing things that people would like from the original movie.
Last bit of trivia before we move on. I don't know, we've been, you know, we've broken the formula.
We've kind of covered a lot of bases already.
Considered for the TX, Vin Diesel, Shaquille O'Neal, which I was really surprised to read, Femke Janssen, which I'm not surprised at all. She would have been brilliant. Christina Loken was good too. Would have been good.
She's Jean from X-Men, right?
And
GoldenEye? Or
Onatopp from GoldenEye, yes.
She does have a very cerebral way of portraying herself. So that's such a not terrible call.
And you guys will appreciate this, maybe. Arnold himself recommended WWF wrestler China.
China's a good call.
Yeah, that would have been a
good
call.
Was she alive when this happened?
Yeah.
She wasn't wrestling anymore, I don't think.
2003. When did she die?
Not so like... Like 2010 or something.
Oh, okay.
She was around for a while. She was alive long enough to have a very short TNA run. So.
That's true. I was going to pitch Sly.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
that's how I thought. Yeah. I was like, oh my God, this is so exciting. but no, that'd have been fun.
I think they were still kind of friendly rivals at that time.
Yeah, but that would be the biggest setup.
Yeah, hey, wouldn't it? Wouldn't it
come join this movie. It's definitely not a piece of shit. Regardless, I'm making bank, so whatever.
So there we go. And Linda Hamilton didn't come back. They were going to kill off Sarah Connor halfway through the film, and she said, no, that's not. I'm not interested in doing that. And so they wrote her out of the film.
Why
and she's just dead off screen.
Off anyway.
Yeah, I know. Exactly. So stupid.
Hey, you were like the best actual actor for like the last two films.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah. And also, while the films are, I mean, the first one's definitely about her, and you could argue two's about John Connor, but it's also so much about her. She's effectively the main non-Terminator character for the franchise.
Yeah.
And they duck her out and bring her back in number six is a weird move.
Yeah, whatever.
It's almost like...
kind of reminds me of like Halloween 6, I think, where they brought Jamie Lee Curtis back and just killed her in the first scene. Like, why?
It's not canon, it's fine. Because then they bring her back again in Halloween, right?
Yeah, like the one after that, yeah.
This was not...
That series has like six different canons. Let's not get into it.
Then there's the Rob Zombies. And, oh, yeah, it's the worst.
There was no passion in this movie. It was just business for everybody. And that's fine, you know, doing business, whatever. It's a film and it's a competent film. It's just not interesting. It's just not good.
So I refer to this film as it's in the post Miles Dyson era of the Terminator franchise, which means it's so bad. But they try their best.
PMD.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
What can you do?
What can you do? Do we want to talk about the plot quickly?
We
just did. We kind of hit a lot of it.
So John Connor's introduced as a suicidal...
He's a street rat. A no good street rat.
A street rat.
Whatever. He's ready to kill himself because his life has no meaning without Judgment Day. He did it. He saved the world and nobody knows a thing and nobody cares.
I mean, I'm not going to stop him.
But he gets a boo-boo from having a motorcycle accident because he's bad at riding or just, you know, is bad at killing himself, whatever the case is.
He's just a compassionate boy. He didn't want to hit that deer.
And he sneaks into or breaks into the veterinary surgery that Catherine Brewster is working at and is called in.
And they're high school sweethearts, I think.
Yeah,
is that
they,
right?
They established in the film
high school together. I don't think they were together.
That they kissed or that they really met each other or had a connection or something the day before T2, the events of T2 happened in John Connor's timeline. And then now they reconnect the day before or the day of, you know, a next Terminator. So it's almost like the universe going, hey, you guys should be together right about now. If you want to follow.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah.
No, wait, that's not what I mean.
I mean, the message from the first two Terminator films is there's no fate but what you make, and then T3 says,
fate.
Screw that. It was all inevitable anyway, and fate is, you know, absolutely happening. This forget trying to control your destiny and have any sort of influence over your life. Nah, things are just going to be crap for a little while.
Sorry about what we've been saying for the last two films of this franchise. Yeah. Doesn't work for me right now with the story I'm trying to tell.
Even the message they get wrong, you know, that's what's so disappointing. But anyway, he fixes himself up, but she gets called in because somebody has a sick cat and she finds him. At the same time, the TX comes after her and Arnie comes in and knocks out the TX for a little bit and manages to get away with both Catherine and John Connor. She thinks she's being kidnapped at this point, but slowly she comes to realize what's going on and that he genuinely isn't a human and maybe John is right after all. He's not just crazy and smelly.
No, John's a little bit
he's
crazy.
Pretty, he's pretty warped, but that's not his fault.
I just don't feel like the events of T2 were that bad.
Okay.
Yeah.
And then there's a little chase for a while. There's a crane chase that happens very early in the film. It seems like something that shouldn't happen at the climax or close to the end, but no, it happens very early on. And it's one of the most expensive shots of the film and whatever, it's pretty forgettable. You know, it looks kind of cool when you're watching it, but nothing really happens in it that's memorable. It's just the TX and the T-800 trying to lose each other, whatever.
I will say, this film's a bit more gory than the other two.
Well, maybe.
I mean, T2 did have a couple of like blades through people's heads and stuff that was quite like, oof, like that's a big...
Yeah.
But there is the, I think it was, she was in the back of a cop car in one scene and she punches her hand through the chest of a cop. Like that was needlessly...
That one was pretty gnarly.
Yeah. Like I don't mind, like, it wasn't like over the top, but it also felt really weird for these films.
That's one of the few things that I think they got right with the TX. Mm. That she's just on a mission and I don't give it, you know, I need to turn this car around. And we've established already at this point that she can just control machines with her mind, but fuck that, I'm just going to punch through this guy and turn the wheel myself.
Yep.
You know, not even going to reach around.
Yeah, she lacks the subtleties of Robert Patrick.
But that at least kind of is in line with the machine thinking, I'm just going to do this, nothing's in my way, I don't care.
Yeah.
Whatever. So there's a little bit of a chase. The T-800 takes them to the grave of Sarah Connor, which is not the grave of Sarah Connor because she was cremated, but in accordance with her will, it's a big weapons
cache. I actually like that.
Yeah, that felt very her.
Fine. Let me be completely subtle and carry this casket on my shoulder through the cemetery so as not to alert suspicion.
Yeah, that part was stupid, but the idea of her having a coffin filled with guns is quaint.
Yeah. Like so they get this coffin full of guns and the only thing Arnie uses out of it is a bazooka to shoot at the TX when they're escaping from the cemetery.
Is that when he fucks up her arm and she goes into flamethrower mode? Was it that fight? It was when she was hit by the truck.
Yes, later when it... as a consequence of this chase, she continues to chase them and, she's run over by a truck and she has to cycle through her new weapon. She can't use her pulse gun anymore. She has to now use a flamethrower. Whatever.
Oh, no.
Who cares? It's
like there are guns around.
God, she could have just been shooting them the whole time, you know.
Yeah.
If ammunition isn't a problem, just have it shooting all the time. Don't even ask people their name. Just have it shooting all the time and have it... moving in front of you, you know.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Maybe they should have gone the corporate espionage route and she should have infiltrated Skynet in like an employee sort of way and maybe just set up things better on their end. So rather than
now
taking out your opponent and fix your shit.
I'm a Terminator. I've got to start shooting the second I get back in time. I've got to start terminating. If I'm not terminating, what the hell am I?
I'm just saying.
I can't be thinking about existentialism, damn. I just need to start shooting.
A good defense is a strong offense. Maybe fix your own side of the fence before attacking your opponents is what I mean.
Absolutely not.
Exactly. Anyway.
You can't help them, guys.
The car is ruined. They go off to some trailer park and they find an RV that's abandoned or whatever is going on. They take that and it's there that they decide, okay, we can't keep running. Let's go after Daddy Brewster and stop Skynet from ever happening in the first place. And the T-800 is going, no, let's not do that because my mission is just to protect you two. Judgment Day is happening no matter what we do. We've already tried, 10 years ago, whatever it is in the timeline, and it didn't work. Excuse me. So it's just going to happen, whatever. We need to get away. And then Catherine Brewster goes, oh, well, I'm invoking, my rule because you have to obey me, so we're going after Daddy Brewster.
I invoke Sky Law.
Yeah.
Is that how this works?
And the T-800 goes, all right. I won't trick you.
You got me.
Yeah, I'll take you to Daddy Brewster and I won't trick you into going into a hideout shelter, into a fallout shelter, I promise.
Wink.
Anyway, that's exactly what he does and, a whole heap of explosions happen. There we go. That's Terminator 3.
And that's the film.
I did find a 1-to-1 replica scale of a T-800 head with light up eyes for $110 Australian dollars.
That's reasonable.
This is much better. I would still rather the chip than the head, to be honest, though. I thought the chip's a nice subtle bit of bullshit to earn rather than just like, here's a skull.
Hey, here's my metal endoskeleton head.
Yeah.
It's recognizable, though. I mean, somebody looking at the chip might think you're a nerd, Seb.
No, you can't have that.
Like, that's from the very first Bill Gates machine. That's the one.
He invented computers, don't you know?
Yeah, he invented Terminators. No, wait, no, not that. I mean something else. There's this part where they're running around a collider.
Yeah.
And they get magnetized to it, and that's pretty funny.
Yeah.
And I feel like they should have also gotten scrambled a little bit. From the strength of the magnets. But I don't actually
know. Maybe, but she's got a buzz saw in there that she can just take out and disable the accelerator. So there we go. That eases that tension. And then she uses her nanite control to take over the T-800 as well.
And he's like, oh no, I've been brainwashed. Run!
I'm coming at you very slowly and I can't control my body, but please listen to me and run away or, just turn around and lure me into the corner of this warehouse and then take off in the plane as I chase you at 3 kilometers an hour.
I'm going to keep swinging my arms like this and you get terminated. It's your own fault. Well, that's effectively what it
that's
is.
That's really what it is. so bad.
How did he... I did zone out for the very end. So not the very end, when they're in the bunker and the board ends. How did both Terminators die? That part I have no memory of because I zoned out.
I
don't remember either, actually.
They're having their little showdown. She's trying to follow them into the fallout shelter. John and Catherine have
actually,
already gone
there's
through.
This one part in the fight where he like dumps her head first into a toilet.
That was funny.
That popped me. Yeah. Other than that, I don't remember.
Yeah. But they're fighting at the entrance to this fallout shelter, and he stops it. Basically, the T-800 takes out its one remaining fuel cell, which is established that once it's ruptured, it explodes violently.
I like how it's established in this film and not prior to.
He ruptures it and shoves it in the TX's mouth and she goes, oh my God, I'm going to die. And they both explode.
That was actually that wasn't even Andrew guys. I just pressed a button and played that clip. Yeah.
A sequence of events happens. Both Terminators go boom, boom, movie over.
The TX does this cartoony eyes wide open. Oh, no. Oh. Just before the explosion.
No, I'm searching that. So all in all, I think we can all say this is the best film in the franchise for multiple reasons. No, we said this last week.
This is not the worst film.
You hear live from fucking opposite day.
I just searched TX death. Let's have a look.
You want to have a chat about Genesis? Talk about a bad film.
Yeah, then listen, there's a lot of not great stuff. The turn of annotations.
Whatever happened to you, Terminator? You used to be cool.
Did it though?
Yeah, in T2.
Okay, wait. He's doing a bench. He's doing some sort of bench press of an entire... Sorry, I'm just zapping through the final sequence here. He's pulling out his fuel core. It's screaming. This is doing that sound. This is fun. So it's just my commentary.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and it decides to have an almost human face for its death?
Yep.
Just die faster. This is taking up way too much time. He puts it in its mouth. It does not look happy. Its eyes literally widened. It looks like it's not having a good time, and now it's dead. Okay. Well, that was a movie. I liked the stuff
in the
bunker.
Of all the movies I've seen, it certainly was one said.
The stuff in the bunker, talking when the world started to end and all the nukes went off, not the worst part of the film. I didn't mind that.
That was great because it was the end.
That too. but just the zoom out of the earth with all the like the explosions going off and a bit
sure, but
silly.
we already have that.
I know.
From T2, which
on opened, ground level.
Yeah.
But when they call into the bunker and they're asking for assistance and we kind of get this vague idea, oh, so John Connor becomes the leader because he answered the phone the first.
This is like the Rogue One. Terminator 3 is like the Rogue One of the Star Wars series. You know Judgment Day happens. You know John Connor becomes the leader. But this film takes you through the minutiae of exactly how that came about.
Yep.
And how all the nukes were launched and how it looked when they were all landing. You don't need, you know, to imagine that. We can show you that. We can spend millions of dollars showing you that and establishing that John Connor did in fact click yes on the radio. He agreed to the terms and conditions of being humanity's savior.
Oh, I found some trivia, which is good. Sorry. various versions of the Terminator's final lines were tested, including eat me. The filmmakers finally settled on you are terminated. Which also
you mean that wasn't their first idea?
Do you get it?
Eat me?
Because he put a piece of him in her mouth. It's funny twice. but they also had the version "You are terminated, fucker" from the first one.
Yeah.
But of course, this film has no balls, so it wouldn't say that.
No, it doesn't have a balls, but it'll shove a Terminatrix arm right through some guy's intestines just to turn a steering wheel.
Would have been nice if they brought it full circle and he shoved his Terminator dong.
That's, 10 out of 10.
That's how the movie ends.
Last piece of trivia because this is hilariously useless. The film's title, Rise of the Machines, foreshadows what happens at the end of the movie. Can I just reword that? The film's title represents the movie. Like, oh, okay.
I get it now. Oh, see, it's a Terminator. Yeah.
it's like when they say the title of the movie in the movie and you're like, there it is. Yeah,
that's exactly it.
Did you guys know that James Cameron's Titanic is named after the very ship the movie is set on?
No way.
That's you what are I mean, shitting like, me, Seb.
Such bullshit.
Do they even subtly reference that at all in the film?
There are some zoom out shots where you can see the T on the side of the boat, but now you know what it means. Oh, okay, are we getting into verdicts? Is that what's happening? This time,
do we even need to? Is it not obvious?
I think the last however many minutes we've been speaking kind of sums it up.
Well,
but hit the sound.
We
anyway.
Have the sound effect, so.
You've heard the good, you've heard the bad, a lot of opinions, a couple facts, it's verdict time.
Bad.
It's not that.
It's fine, there are explosions.
It's average.
Arnie does very well. He's one of the only good parts of the film where all the other humor really falls flat except for the bits where Arnie is doing his little quips and lines because he's the only one that, you know, had a say in what his lines were.
Mm.
I mean, he was being paid a fifth of the film's budget.
Really feel
just
like
to appear in it.
Nick Stahl's like performance just didn't evolve from like the table read. Like everything he does is just so like lifeless and unbelievable.
I don't think that was his fault. I mean,
no, like the dialogue itself doesn't help.
That's exactly right.
I couldn't get into his performance at all. And it makes sense why he didn't have much of a career after this movie.
Well, yeah, but possibly it could have been a career ender, but just from the film itself, the whole screenplay, it just has John Connor going, oh yeah, I remember that
from
the previous one. And yeah, that actually makes sense that this would happen. Okay, we need to keep running.
Yep.
It's bad.
Yep.
I changed my mind. Before I said it was average, now I'm upgrading it from average to bad.
It has little like sparks of, oh, that's kind of cool, but all of it is just Arnie. The rest of it's just kind of hot garbage.
It's worth watching. Like, it's not something you should avoid watching. It's just not as good, anywhere near as good.
I would recommend just watching T2 again.
You can do that and have a much better time.
Yeah.
Yeah. My quick version is just there's no love. This film doesn't feel like somebody came in with passion and wanted to push and tell this great story. It just feels like they came in with
a checklist.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I want my money, my gym trailer, my specific hair guy.
But he was the best part, which is even more annoying. Like, he actively just did it for a paycheck. Like, actively. And it was still the best part. But just narratively, it just didn't, I don't know, it just never clicked with me. But that's fine.
Because it's not an interesting story.
No.
But like I said, it gets worse. But luckily, we're not getting worse. It's fine. We're done with Terminator. Maybe next year, we'll come back and do the other 17, whatever.
Not if I have anything to say about it, Seb.
But right now, we're actually in a good place because I'm so happy. The next 2 weeks, we're doing the Scooby-Doo movies. It gets better. Andrew, you cannot look me in the eye and tell me that any of those will be worse than this. Probably. Definitely not the first one.
Find us on Instagram at Second Take Podcast, or if you live in the future, you can tweet us at Second Take TNC.
The Facebook page is facebook.com/secondtake. Please hit the comments and make sure to tell Andy how wrong he is about Scooby-Doo. You can also follow me on Twitter at JordanMSPP.
You can follow me at Bastion_James. And if you join us for the Variety Hour this week, I'm going to be talking about Scooby-Doo Mystery Incorporated, which is a fantastic show.
I'm totally on board with you for the TV.
Yeah. So if you like Scooby-Doo, you're going to actually, maybe I'll push it back. No, hold on. I mean, come back on Variety Hour anyway. I'll pair that up with the actual Scooby-Doo episodes. Okay. That might make sense. You know, it works. Synergy.
Sure.
I can synergize with myself. And you can follow me on Twitter at Bastion_James. Our website is still secondtakepodcast.com. And you can email us at secondtakepodcast@gmail.com. And if you'd like to support the show, we do have a Patreon, which is patreon.com/secondtake. I did it. Perfect. Goodbye, horses, I think. I'm feeling like this is a good one. Maybe Goodbye Horses. I mean, this sounds weird. Maybe we play that one for bad films when we leave. And then our good intro for good films.
Just play the T2 theme again, why not?
Oh my God, I can.
Just a whole bit.
I'll play a bit of the T2 theme to bring us out. But then it's gonna cut very quickly. So we'll catch you guys on Wednesday.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.